Welcome to tape number 13 of The Ordinance of Covenanting by John Cunningham. This Reformation audio resource is a production of Stillwater's Revival Books. There is no copyright on this material, and we encourage you to reproduce it and pass it on to your friends. Many free resources, as well as our complete mail order catalog, containing classic and contemporary Puritan and Reformed books, CDs, and much more at great discounts, is on the web at www.swrb.com. We can also be reached by email at swrb@swrb.com, by phone at 780-450-3730, by fax at 780-468-1096, or by mail at 4710-37A Avenue, Edmonton, Alberta, Canada, T6L3T5. If you do not have a web connection, please request a free printed catalog. If you do have a web connection and would like to be added to our email list, send an email to add@swrb.com with the word add in the subject line. And now to our reading of The Ordinance of Covenanting by John Cunningham, which we pray you find to be a great blessing, and which we hope draws you near to the Lord Jesus Christ. Continuing our reading with Chapter 8, Covenanting According to the Purposes of God. The covenant people of God are an appointed people. Even as a law was appointed in Israel, even as an everlasting covenant ordered in all things and sure was appointed, so were they. And who, as I, shall call and shall declare it, and set it in order for me, since I appointed the ancient people, and the things that are coming and shall come, let them show unto them. Isaiah 44, verse 7. The same term denoting to appoint in each of the three cases is used. It is used in original of the passages. He gave appointed to the sea his decree, and in this acceptation of it signifies in sovereignty to ordain. The ancient people included first the people of Israel. Isaiah 47, verse 6. And they are the covenant people of all nations and of every age, members of that church whose date is of ancient days. By the prophet who speaks of their appointment, their practice as covenanters bowing to the Lord in a familiar passage is explicitly described. Isaiah 44, verse 5. From others it may be concluded, many evils overtook apostate Israel. The earth mourneth and fadeth away, the world languisheth and fadeth away. The haughty people of the earth do languish. The earth also is defiled under the inhabitants thereof, because they have transgressed the laws, changed the ordinance, broken the everlasting covenant. Therefore hath the curse devoured the earth, and they that dwell therein are desolate. But to many good was to follow. And if, for the neglect of making and keeping covenant engagements, such calamities were poured out, will not a strict regard to these duties be paid when dissolutions shall cease, and there shall have arrived the time when the Lord of hosts shall reign in Mount Zion, and in Jerusalem, and before his ancient gloriously? Isaiah 24, verses 4, 6, and 23. Many were appointed or left to disobedience and condemnation. And were not others appointed to obedience and life? Of the former the Apostle Peter writes, But unto them which be disobedient, the stone which the builders disallowed, the same is made the head of the corner, and a stone of stumbling, and a rock of offense, even to them which stumble at the word, being disobedient, whereunto also they were appointed. But to the other, in terms certainly implying that to every privilege and duty of the covenant, they were no less, yea, assuredly appointed, he says, Yea, also as living stones are built up a spiritual house and holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. Wherefore also it is contained in the Scripture, Behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious, and he that believeth on him shall not be confounded. Unto you therefore which believe, he is precious. The chief cornerstone laid in Zion is presented as a ground of trust instead of the covenant which dealt with hell, with death and hell which should not stand. All founded on him are therefore a covenant people, and hence in that character they were appointed. and hence in terms from the Old Testament bearing on covenant relations and duties, he continues his address. But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that you should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light, which in time past were not a people, but are now the people of God, which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. 1 Peter 2, verses 7, 8, 5, 6, 9, and 10. The people of God, as a covenant people, were written in the book of life. Of the holy Jerusalem, the Spirit testifies, there shall in no wise enter into it anything that defileth, neither whatsoever worketh abomination or maketh a lie, but they which are written in the Lamb's book of life. Revelation 21, verse 7. Whosoever enters therein, therefore, will not rank among those who, refusing to act as the children of the covenant, are denominated the uncircumcised and the unclean. Concerning the beast, it is said, all that dwell upon the earth shall worship him, whose names are not written in the book of life of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. Revelation 13, verse 8. The sin of those is idolatry. Hence, neither are written in the book of life any others who, impenitently refraining from the obedience of a covenant people, virtually persevere in the service of any idols till death arrests them. It was to Israel as a people who had voluntarily in covenant dedicated themselves to his service that was addressed the message. Thus saith the Lord, I remember thee, the kindness of thy youth, the love of thine espousals, when thou wentest after me in the wilderness in a land that was not sown. Israel was holiness unto the Lord. Jeremiah 2, verses 2 and 3. And applicable to all who, such as they were, being in covenant, are sanctified, is the promise, and it shall come to pass that he that is left in Zion, and he that remaineth in Jerusalem, shall be called holy, even every one that is written among the living in Jerusalem. Isaiah 4, verse 3. The saints of God are come to the general assembly and church of the firstborn, which are written in heaven, but they are also come to Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant, and to the blood of sprinkling, that speaketh better things than that of Abel. And according to their distinguished destination, they endeavor to reduce to practice the exhortation, wherefore we, receiving a kingdom which cannot be moved, let us have grace whereby we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear. Hebrews 12, verses 23, 24, and 28. The covenant people of God are an elect people. They were chosen to be separated from the wicked and from their works. Thus Israel were separated from the heathen. Thus all who believe are separated from those who know not nor obey the Lord. Thou art an holy people unto the Lord thy God. The Lord thy God hath chosen thee to be a special people unto himself above all people that are upon the face of the earth. Deuteronomy 7, verse 6. Thou shalt fear the Lord thy God, and serve him, and shall swear by his name. Ye shall not go after other gods of the gods of the people which are round about you. Deuteronomy 6, verses 13 and 14. The answer of God to the lamentation of Elijah concerning the defection of Israel is applied to believers of New Testament times as a people in covenant chosen from the wicked. God hath not cast away his people, which he foreknew. Wot ye not what the Scripture saith of Elias, how he maketh intercession to God against Israel, saying, Lord, they have killed thy prophets and digged down thine altars, and I am left alone, and they seek my life. But what saith the answer of God unto him? I have reserved to myself 7,000 men who have not bowed the knee to the image of Baal. Even so, then, at this present time also there is a remnant according to the election of grace. Romans 11, verses 2 through 5. The apostle does not quote the words of the prophet, the children of Israel have forsaken thy covenant, 1 Kings 19, verse 10, but he states the evidence for the fact which these words announce, they have killed thy prophets and digged down thine altars. The 7,000 who had not bowed the knee to the image of Baal were steadfast in God's covenant. all believers are so, and thus steadfast all of them in every time are a remnant according to the election of grace. The people of God were chosen in Christ before the foundation of the world. Hence, a visible church was erected therein. Hence, Israel, as a people, were endowed with peculiar privileges. Hence, the ordinances of divine grace are dispensed in every age. But all are not elect who wait on the institutions of religion. Israel was chosen from among the heathen, but all of them were not chosen in Christ. The members of the visible church, by profession, are separated from the world, but all of them do not enjoy the privileges and do not discharge the duties of God's elect. All are not Israel who are of Israel. When the Lord entered into covenant with his people, Israel, he chose them from among idolaters. He did so because of his choice of them from everlasting. Why the Lord will have mercy on Jacob and will yet choose Israel is that he chose them from eternity. And the Lord will have mercy on the Gentiles as a covenant people set apart from the wicked according to his eternal sovereign good will. The Lord did not set his love upon you, nor choose you because you were more in number than any people, for you were the fewest of all the people, but because the Lord loved you. Deuteronomy 7, verses 7 and 8. Israel hath not obtained that which he seeketh for, but the election hath obtained it, and the rest were blinded. Romans 11, verse 7. When Paul and Barnabas preached at Antioch in Pisidia, the Jews spake against those things which were spoken by Paul, contradicting and blaspheming. These apostles thereupon expressed their resolution to turn to the Gentiles, and their warrant they declare, "For so hath the Lord commanded us, saying, I have set thee to be a light of the Gentiles, that thou shouldest be for salvation unto the ends of the earth. Nor was he who, that he might be light of the Gentiles, was given for a covenant of the people," Isaiah 41 verse 6, 42 verse 6, "then preached in vain. When the Gentiles heard this, they were glad and glorified the word of the Lord, and as many as were ordained to eternal life believed," Acts 13 verses 45 to 48. The people of God were elected to covenant obedience. Israel were frequently represented both as his elect and as his servants. "For Jacob my servant's sake, and Israel mine elect, I have even called thee by thy name," Isaiah 45, verse 4. See also Isaiah 41, verses 8 and 9, and Psalm 105, verse 6. The elect are spoken of as formed and ordained to good works. "For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them." And those good works include the keeping of the covenant by covenanting and fulfilling the engagements made. "Wherefore remember that you, being in times past Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by that which is called the circumcision in the flesh made by hands, that at that time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. But now, in Christ Jesus, you who sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ." Ephesians 2, verses 10 and 11 through 13. The saints are described as elect unto obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ. 1 Peter 1, verse 2. As the sprinkling of blood signifies the application of the efficacy of Christ's death by the Spirit of God, was wont to accompany the exercise of covenanting by sacrifice, so under the last dispensation, the obedience of the people of God according to election is to spring from their acceptance of Christ and his benefits and dedication to God in the various acts of personal and social covenanting. Finally, they are introduced at once as his witnesses, his servant, and his chosen. "You are my witnesses, saith the Lord, and my servant whom I have chosen." Isaiah 43, verse 10. They were therefore chosen to serve him by vowing and swearing to him in secret, by testifying to his truths by oath before the world, and by adhering faithfully to his testimony. The people of God were elected to privileges that can be enjoyed only by those in covenant with him. Theirs is the heavenly calling, and this they enjoy, that the purpose of God according to election might stand, not of works, but of him that calleth. Romans 9, verse 11. All the saints being called and chosen and faithful, Abraham had been a partaker of this calling when God delivered to him the command to leave his native land, which the patriarch obeyed. That effectual call led him to obey the special mandate to go forth to Canaan and to believe the precious promise that had been made to him. When the covenant of God was made, when the covenant of God was established with him by that call, he laid hold upon it, testifying by his acquiescence in it, by believing in the Lord, by sacrificing unto him, and by receiving circumcision as a covenant sign. And that, as the promise of that covenant was to the Jews who were called, so its seasonable duties, and consequently the exercise of engaging to it, were incumbent upon them, appears from the record of the specially momentous day of Pentecost, manifestly keeping in view the covenant by inculcating on the people a regard to baptism, its sign. Peter said unto them, Repent and be baptized every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you and to your children, and to all that are far off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. Acts 2, verses 38 and 39. Not merely to the Jews was its precious promise of the seed, Christ, but to the Gentiles also. And faith in him and the duty of keeping and of entering into covenant with him under the latter dispensation are obligatory on all. The Scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the heathen through faith, preached before the gospel unto Abraham, saying, In thee shall all nations be blessed. So then they which be of faith are blessed with faithful Abraham. Galatians 3, verses 8 and 9. And the gospel is preached that men receiving the external call may be called effectually and thus brought to receive the promise and fulfill the duties required. Like the Israelites who, after his manifestation in the flesh, believed in Jesus, all the people of God feel and acknowledge their covenant obligations, that they should show forth the praises of him who hath called them out of darkness into his marvelous light. To the condition of a people keeping covenant, the seed of Jacob yet to be reclaimed, as chosen of God, will be called. Blindness in part is happened to Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles be come in. And so all Israel shall be saved, as it is written, There shall come out of Zion the deliverer, and shall turn away ungodliness from Jacob. For this is my covenant unto them, when I shall take away their sins. And concerning the gospel, they are enemies for your sake, but, as touching the election, they are beloved for the Father's sake. For the gifts and callings of God are without repentance. Romans 11, verses 25 to 29. And all whom he had before prepared unto glory, even those whom he hath called, not of the Jews only, but also of the Gentiles, as a people in covenant, acting faith on Christ, will lay hold on the covenant promise. For this cause he is the mediator of the New Testament, or covenant, that by means of death, for the redemption of the transgressions that were under the first testament, or covenant, they which are called might receive the promise of eternal inheritance. Hebrews 9, verse 15. To the elect people of God belongs the blessing of justification. Whom he did predestinate, them he also called, and whom he called, them he also justified. Romans 8, verse 30. Abraham believed God, and it was counted unto him for righteousness. It was when, in the exercise of covenanting, he accepted of the promise of God, that he was thus blessed. All who believe are the children of Abraham, and being in covenant are, by being justified, blessed with him. In the Lord shall all the seed of Israel be justified, and shall glory. They are those concerning whom the Lord hath sworn, saying, Unto me every knee shall bow, every tongue shall swear. surely shall one say, in the Lord have I righteousness and strength. Isaiah 45, verse 25, 23, and 24. The Lord Jesus, exalted a prince and a savior, is made of God unto his people righteousness. Being justified by faith, they have the covenant blessing of peace with God through Christ. And to the glory of the Redeemer, and to the manifestation of the solemn covenant relations to God in which they stand, making mention of his righteousness, they will bow and swear to him. Under the auspicious reign of Messiah, seated at God's right hand, the people of Israel, restored to their own land, will do so. In his days Judah shall be saved, and Israel shall dwell safely. And this is his name, whereby he shall be called, the Lord our righteousness. Therefore, behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that they shall no more say, the Lord liveth, which brought up the children of Israel out of the land of Egypt, but the Lord liveth, which brought up, and which led the seed of the house of Israel out of the north country, and from all countries whither I had driven them. Jeremiah 23, verses 6 to 8. And this duty the Gentile nations also shall perform. Thou shalt swear, the Lord liveth, in truth, in judgment, and in righteousness, and the nations shall bless themselves in him, and in him shall they glory. Jeremiah 4, verse 2. The Lord hath chosen his people to the adoption of sons, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will. Ephesians 1, verse 5. In that character they individually and also in a social capacity vow to the Lord and keep his covenant. To manifest that the relation recognizes the necessity of self-dedication unto him, he says to each one called to his service, My son, give me thine heart. Proverbs 23, verse 26. That Israel might be led into the wilderness and thence to Canaan, not merely to give continual obedience to his law, but at certain seasons, as a people, to enter into solemn covenant with God, Pharaoh had addressed to him the message, Thus saith the Lord, Israel is my son, even my firstborn, and I say unto thee, Let my son go, that he may serve me. Exodus 4, 22 and 23. In terms which describe the everlasting covenant between the Father and the surety of sinners, the covenant of royalty which God made with David is also commemorated. Psalm 89, verses 3 to 28. In that covenant, Solomon was interested, and standing in such a relation was the object of the promise, I will be his father, and he shall be my son. 2 Samuel 7, verse 14. Jacob described as the Lord's servant, and Israel as his elect, and who are represented as vowing and swearing to the Lord, are acknowledged as his sons. Thus saith the Lord, the Holy One of Israel and his Maker, Ask me of things to come concerning my sons, and concerning the work of my hands command ye me. Isaiah 45, verse 4. Israel, by falling into idolatry, manifestly disregarding the solemn covenant obligations that had descended upon them, were reminded of their sin by a representation of that filial relation to God in which their father stood, but to which many, notwithstanding their professions through unbelief, never attained. When Israel was a child, then I loved him and called him my son out of Egypt. As they called them, so they went from them. They sacrificed unto Balaam and burned incense to graven images. Hosea 11, verses 1 and 2. In the character of his sons will Israel be reclaimed from their apostasy and voluntarily enter into solemn engagements with God as his covenant people. They shall come with weeping, and with supplications will I lead them. I will cause them to walk by the rivers of waters in a straight way, wherein they shall not stumble, for I am a father to Israel, and Ephraim is my firstborn. Jeremiah 31, verse 9. See also verse 31 through 37. In the character of children, too, they shall enjoy the benefits of God's covenant. Jeremiah 3, verses 18 and 19. And like them, all the chosen of God will hear his gracious invitation, Return, ye backsliding children, and I will heal your backsliding. And with them cheerfully coming under obligation to serve him, they will say, Behold, we come unto thee, for thou art the Lord our God. Jeremiah 3, 22. both Jews and Gentiles are interested in the apostles' declaration, "You are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. And if ye be Christ, then are ye Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise." Galatians 3:26-29. The elect people of God are a sanctified people. "We are bound to give thanks always to God for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord, because God hath from the beginning chosen you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth." 2 Thessalonians 2:13. "And as a holy people they draw near to vow to him, as separated from the heathen and called to the service of God, Israel appeared a holy people, abstaining from certain practices in which idolaters engaged. They were ceremonially holy. Under both aspects they appeared a symbol of the true Israel among them and of all else who are sanctified by the Spirit and dedicated to the Lord. The people entered into a covenant with the Lord at Sinai, but that they might be prepared for acceding to it and for the accompanying solemnities, they, as a holy people, required to make progress in sanctification, were previously to be sanctified. The Lord said unto Moses, Go unto the people and sanctify them today and tomorrow. Exodus 19:10. In order to wait upon God, whether making miraculous displays of his omniscience or power, or manifesting himself in the dispensation of the ordinances of his grace, the people of Israel were commanded to sanctify themselves. The place of his gracious presence, where his people, besides engaging in other exercise, swear in covenanting with him, was his sanctuary. His covenant with his people, as at that Abraham, is a holy covenant, that his people may enter into covenant renewedly. The Lord himself will sanctify them. His Sabbath, the sign of his covenant, he gave unto them, that they might know this. Exodus 31:13. This they will continue to experience. Many swear by those that were no gods, but to his own people, as swearing by his name, he promises, "Hold thy peace at the presence of the Lord God, for the day of the Lord is at hand. For the Lord has prepared a sacrifice, he hath bid or sanctified his guest." Zephaniah 1:7. In this, ruin may be threatened to his enemies, but in it certainly is implied his gracious procedures to his saints. By the Holy Ghost they are sanctified, that they may dedicate themselves to God and thereafter serve him. Putting you in mind, because of the grace that is given to me of God, that I should be the minister of Jesus Christ to the Gentiles, ministering the gospel of God, that the offering up of the Gentiles might be acceptable, being sanctified by the Holy Ghost. Romans 15:15-16. This offering up, or oblation of the Gentiles, was that urged in these terms: "I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service." Romans 12:1. And by the blood of the everlasting covenant are such set apart to this. Wherefore Jesus also, that he might sanctify the people with his own blood, suffered without the gate. By him therefore let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually, that is, the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to or confessing his name. But to do good and to communicate, forget not, for with such sacrifices God is well pleased. Hebrews 13:12-16. This ends side one. Please turn the tape over and continue listening on side two. To them belong the benefits of redemption that accompany and flow from acceptance with God. These are assurance of God's love. All believers may not enjoy this blessing. Few may attain it in any comforting or satisfactory measure, yet it is attainable. He that believeth on the Son of God hath the witness in himself. 1 John 5:10. Ourselves also which have the first fruits of the Spirit. Romans 8:23. He that loveth me shall be loved by my Father, and I will love him and manifest myself to him. If a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and we will come unto him and make our abode with him. John 14, verses 21 and 23. It is provided. It is vouchsafed as a provision of the everlasting covenant. The secret of the Lord is with them that fear him, and he will show them his covenant. Psalm 25, verse 14. Those who enjoy it know that to it they were elected. Knowing, brethren, beloved, your election of God. 1 Thessalonians 1, verse 4. And from the invitation to enter upon eternal life that will be given to the righteous by the glorious judge of all on his high throne, it is manifest that from the days of eternity, that blessing, preparatory for the final glory, was secured to them. He will say, Come, ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. Matthew 25, verse 34. Among the benefits introductory to the final glory, which, not less than that glory, were laid up for them, appears the earnest of the Spirit, in whom ye also trusted, after you have heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also, after that ye believed, you were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance. Ephesians 1, 13 and 14. See also 1 Corinthians 1, 22 and verse 5. Peace of conscience. It is according to the purpose of God that faith is exercised. Unto you it is given in the behalf of Christ to believe on him. Philippians 1, 29. And by that faith, through which justification, a fruit itself of the divine counsels, is bestowed, and which is an exercise in covenanting, peace with God is enjoyed. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Romans 5, verse 1. Righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit are all vouchsafed to the believer. All of them are covenant blessings. The arrangements of divine mercy secure righteousness, and therefore all of these. The new creature, born from above, ranks among the Israel of God, who are by covenant engaged to his service, and on such the peace of God is invoked. For in Christ Jesus neither circumcision availeth anything, nor uncircumcision, but a new creature. And as many as walk according to this rule, peace be on them, and mercy, and upon the Israel of God. Galatians 6, verses 15 and 16. God in covenant is the God of peace. Believers say concerning Christ, He is our peace. Ephesians 2, 14. Peace of conscience, peace with himself, peace in all its manifestations, and that peace which Christ came to secure, which he preached, and which he commanded, as his best blessing, to descend upon his people, proceeded from that counsel whence came all the displays of God's love, the counsel of peace. Joy in the Holy Ghost. The kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. Romans 14, verse 17. Every one that sweareth truly by him shall rejoice in God and shall glory. Psalm 63, verse 11. Joy in God is essential to the exercise properly conducted. Let the saints testify from their own experience to the perfect correspondence to their feelings of these words dictated by his own Spirit. I, the Lord, love judgment. I hate robbery for burnt offering. And I will direct their work in truth, and I will make an everlasting covenant with them. I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My soul shall be joyful in my God, for he hath clothed me with the garments of salvation. He hath covered me with the robe of righteousness, as a bridegroom decketh himself with ornaments, and as a bride adorneth herself with jewels. Isaiah 61, verse 8 through 10. Supplication may be made for joy in vowing and swearing by his name. Rejoice the soul of my servant, for unto thee, O Lord, I do lift up my soul. Psalm 89, verse 4. The church of God, yea, many nations are commanded to rejoice, performing this service. Sing and rejoice, O daughter of Zion, for lo, I come, and I will dwell in the midst of thee, saith the Lord. and many nations shall be joined to the Lord in that day, and shall be my people, and I will dwell in the midst of thee, and thou shalt know that the Lord of hosts hath sent me unto thee. Zechariah 2, verses 10 and 11. On a solemn occasion, all Judea rejoiced at the oath which they had sworn. 2 Chronicles 15:15. Promises are made that, engaging in this exercise, many will rejoice. Those who shall take hold on the covenant of God will be joyful in his house of prayer. Isaiah 61, verses 6 and 7. And he did on a former occasion, Nehemiah 12:43, when the Lord turns the captivity of Israel and takes them into covenant with himself, he will cause them to rejoice, and the Gentile nations, in like manner, engaged as they were, shall be filled with joy. Now I say that Jesus Christ was a minister of the circumcision for the truth of God, to confirm the promises made unto the fathers, and that the Gentiles might glorify God for his mercy, as it is written, For this cause I will confess to thee among the Gentiles, and sing unto thy name. Now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that you may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost. Romans 15, verses 8, 9, and 13. And the rejoicing that variously represented is according to divine ordination. It is said, Behold, my servant shall sing for joy of heart, but ye shall cry for sorrow of heart, and shall howl for vexation of spirit. And you shall leave your name for a curse unto my chosen, for the Lord God shall slay thee, and call his servants by another name, that he who blesseth himself in the earth shall bless himself in the God of truth, and he that sweareth in the earth shall swear by the God of truth, because the former troubles are forgotten, and because they are hid from mine eyes. But concerning these words, as well as others that precede them, it is said by him whose spirit dictated them, Behold, it is written before me, Isaiah 65, verses 14, 16, and 6. How elevated is the rejoicing of God's covenant people! Theirs is a joy which the world cannot give nor take away. With it a stranger cannot intermeddle. It is unspeakable and full of glory. It is the joy of the Lord. Increase of grace. The covenant people are a remnant according to the election of grace. Romans 11, verse 5. To that grace, therefore, which comes from the free favor of God, they were chosen by him. They are heirs of the grace of life. 1 Peter 3, 7. And consequently, in God's purpose, according to his covenant, they were set apart to the enjoyment of grace that should be progressive. They are planted in the house of God and grow up and flourish in his courts. And there they still bring forth fruit in old age. They are the planting of the Lord, and according to his purpose, as well as to his actual disposal of them and their own engagements to be for him, they stand there. Passing towards the heavenly temple, they go on from strength to strength. In taking hold on him, in vowing and swearing to him, they do so and find that the Lord indeed is their strength. And as they find thus that the Lord ordained strength for them, they know that he had so ordained at first. To them that fear the name of the Lord, and accordingly avouch him to be their God, is made the promise, But unto you that fear my name shall the Son of Righteousness arise with healing in his wings, and you shall go forth and grow up as calves of the stall. Malachi 4, verse 2. That promise, as well as every other, is due to his immutable counsel. Hebrews 6, verse 17. Finally, the command is given, Grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. 2 Peter 3:18. To grow in grace is therefore coordinate with increase in the knowledge of Christ, even of that knowledge which is attained to in cleaving to his covenant. And he himself teaches that fitness to do so was provided according to his purpose. You have not chosen me, but I have chosen you, and ordained you that you should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatsoever you shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give it you. John 15, verse 16. perseverance in grace. God's covenant with his people shall not be broken. I will never break my covenant with you. Judges 2, verse 1. The Lord will not cast off his people, neither will he forsake his inheritance. Psalm 94, verse 14. See also Isaiah 54, verse 9 and 10. He will give grace to cleave to it continually. I will make an everlasting covenant with them, that I will not turn away from them to do them good, but I will put my fear in their hearts, that they shall not depart from me. Jeremiah 32, verse 40. Believers were given to Christ, and therefore they cannot be lost. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father, which gave them me, is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. John 10, verses 28 and 29. Trusting in him, therefore, his people rejoice to say, Nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal, The Lord knoweth them that are his. 2 Timothy 2, verse 19. And eternal life. This consummation, unspeakable, is indissoluble, connected with the purpose of God and the believer's exercises of adhering to the covenant. On the promise of eternal life, the heirs of it lay hold in covenanting, and to this they were chosen. They cleave to the covenant as an everlasting covenant, well ordered in all things, and sure. That is all their salvation and all their desire. And to that final salvation they were chosen. Whom he did predestinate, them he also called. And whom he called, them he also justified. And whom he justified, them he also glorified. Romans 8, verse 30. Who can describe that life? And who can sufficiently tell of the grace of him who hath secured it to men? And who should not feel amazed at the backwardness of sinners to prepare for it, so free and beneficently offered? Truly the glory of God is great in his salvation. The redeemed through eternity will find the glad work of declaring that glory undone. Would that sinners now, by accepting of the great salvation, would begin here and finally be prepared to celebrate with all others of their race redeemed to God that glory. In conclusion, as in every case the purposes of God harmonize with his precepts, so the manifestation of those in reference to the keeping his covenant unites with express injunctions of his law in urging to discharge that duty. The law of God conspires with his revealed purposes to lead the sinner to obedience, and his purposes revealed illustrate the import of his law. Both consist with his nature. What in his providence accords with both at once acknowledges the high claim which he has upon the willing exertions of men to serve him, and his right to appoint independently of a specified statute what shall be carried into effect. The law of God is the rule according to which men act, and that is illustrated by his purposes revealed. His purpose is the rule according to which he acts, and that is consistent with his law. Accompanied by the sanction of both, covenanting is revealed, and not less than that as dictated in his law, it appears as according to his purpose and ordinance of God. Chapter 9. Covenanting sanctioned by the divine example. God's procedure, when imitable, forms a peculiar argument for duty. That is made known for many reasons, among which must stand this, that it may be observed and followed as an example. That, being perfect, is a safe and necessary pattern to follow. The law of God proclaims what he wills men as well as angels to do. The purposes of God show what he has resolved to have accomplished. The constitutions of his moral subjects intimate that he has provided that his will shall be voluntarily accomplished by some of them. His own example presents what must be willingly done. It affords a complete reason for doing what is besides variously urged. The law of God is his will diffused among his moral subjects. His revealed purposes are his determinations to be carried into effect by means, many of which are beyond the sphere of the willing endeavors of his creatures. The constitutions of his obedient subjects are an instrumentality worthy of the glorious moral character of him who, though independent of all, acts according to the principles of eternal rectitude, and who, in infinite wisdom, can cause immortal beings, bound by immutable laws, to act so freely to perform his holy will. His own example is the direct operation, not of creatures, nor of laws, nor of dispensations, but of the I Am himself, as the infinite, eternal, unchangeable Spirit, presented to the creatures of his power for their guidance and direction. Number one, God himself has entered into covenant engagements. The dispensations of God in covenant are peculiar to himself. No change whatever is produced on him when he transacts with his creatures or on their behalf. His relations to them are constituted wholly by his doings that affect them. He himself is immutable in his being and purposes. When he acts, he is not moved. When he accepts, no transformation of character is produced upon him. Any new relation in which he stands comes wholly from the effect accomplished on the creature. He makes known his will not as due to the present, but as the same from eternity. He acts in creation and providence, but his creatures alone are affected. He becomes engaged to some of them, not by any alteration being produced upon his views or enjoyments or state of character, but by the manifestation of what he is. He accepts of those as united to him, viewed by them through his grace as possessed of a certain glorious character. From eternity, his sovereign purposes regarding the salvation of man were, but not by any change in the Trinity or in the unity of the Godhead, defined in covenant. First, the eternal three in one entered into confederation in the covenant of redemption. We are warranted from Scripture to receive this covenant as a fact. It might not have been, but according to God's will, it was. The purpose of God to save sinners is from eternity. The covenant is due to that. In an order of nature wonderful to contemplate, the former precedes the latter. God willed that the Father should be the God of grace. God willed that the Son should be the mediator between God and men. God willed that the Holy Ghost should dispense his influences for carrying into effect the purposes of mercy. These purposes stand from eternity, the fruit of the divine sovereignty, the conscious resolutions of the eternal, the conditions of a sure covenant. The reasons for the fulfillment thereof are the sovereign purposes and the purposes approved by each person of the adored Godhead in an economic character. Secondly, God entered into covenant with man in innocence. The divine character was made known to the gifted immortal. The will of God, claiming obedience and the offer of definite good, were presented before his mind. He acquiesced, and God was engaged to him and to all his posterity in covenant. One ground on which he was to bestow the blessings of the covenant was his own purpose, his making before his creature and by and before himself. He promised to confer it was, according to the principle of eternal righteousness, the other. This ends tape number 13 of the Ordinance of Covenanting by John Cunningham. Please go to the next tape in the series and continue listening. This Reformation audio resource is a production of Stillwaters Revival Books. Many free resources, as well as SWRB's complete mail-order catalog containing classic and contemporary Puritan and Reformed books, CDs, and much more at great discounts, is on the web at www.swrb.com. We can also be reached by email at swrb@swrb.com, by phone at 780-450-3730, by fax at 780-468-1096, or by mail at 4710-37A Avenue, Edmonton, Alberta, Canada, T6L3T5. If you do not have a web connection, please request a free printed catalog. If you have a web connection and would like to be added to our email list, please send an email to add@swrb.com with the word add in the subject line. This book, The Ordinance of Covenanting by John Cunningham, is also available from Stillwaters Revival Books in soft cover format at a discount in our A to Z author listings. And please don't forget to look over the 62 CDs that make up our Reformation and Puritan Bookshelf CD set if you visit our website at swrb.com, as these CDs are a great way to build a major Reformed library at a fraction of the cost of the printed books.